my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
Hello and welcome to the Date Night Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Russell, and with me is my co-host, Ashley Russell. That's right, it's that spooky time of year again, and I don't mean election season. I'm talking about Halloween.
Yeah,
it's right around the corner.
Trick or treat!
We're going to take a little break from talking about new releases, which isn't hard because there really aren't any.
I mean,
that's the real ghost town in the theater. That's where you're really going to get your haunt on. But yeah, we're going to talk about two of our respective seasonal favorites. The first is Hocus Pocus.
Woohoo!
That's from 1993. It's directed by Kenny Ortega. And the second is 2007's Trick or Treat, directed by Mike Dougherty. And, you know, both these movies, they didn't really find their audience until years down the line on home video. And so Hocus Pocus, that's your pick. You know, I have very, like, faint memories seeing this on home video as a kid many, many years ago. And I never really revisited it. You know, so my memory of it is pretty hazy. But it's become something of like a cultural Halloween touchstone.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yeah. And obviously it's on like TBS and, you know.
Like the scary nights of Halloween on ABC Family.
Well, yeah, they'll have the 30 days of Halloween or something like that.
I think it got a lot of play on that. And that definitely boosted it. I mean, this movie, it's re-topped the box office chart and the home video charts. And we're talking 27 years later after its release. But, you know, let's rewind back to the summer of 1993, when Hocus Pocus was first released in theaters. And, you know, I'm not sure why you would drop a movie like this in the middle of July, but people are paid to make these choices. So when it came out, you know, critics were 37% fresh on it.
Yeah, I mean,
not good. And it wasn't a big hit. It opened the same weekend as Free Willy.
Yeah.
And Free Willy, you know, ultimately went on to make like $77 million. Hocus Pocus topped out at 40. So
yeah, but now,
right,
where are they?
Exactly. And so that's, you know, that's kind of my point. You know, Free Willy, you know, even though it became like the family sleeper of that summer, I definitely remember seeing Free Willy in theaters, but not this. But, I mean, clearly this movie, it got like a second life. And, you know, I don't see Free Willy
Third, fourth. I mean, it's been...
I don't see Free Willy being released in theaters, you know, and remastered and Dolby Vision and all that. So yeah, sometimes, you know, you got to wait it out for success to come around.
I don't know. I mean, Hocus Pocus for me is just... I don't even remember when I watched it for the first time. I just always remember being...
It's just always been on TV.
Always there. And it's always been fun. I've always enjoyed it. It's always been nostalgia. Plus, I love Bette Midler. I love Sarah Jessica Parker. And I love the nun from Sister Act.
Kathy and Jimmy.
Yeah. Great chemistry.
The three of them are great. Absolutely. And yeah, Bette Midler... You know, I was looking at just some of the reviews, and you know, some of the reviews kind of singled her out as being terrible. Like, fans of Bette Midler should avoid this movie, was what one critic said. And you know, watching it with you, you know, and it was kind of like a fresh viewing for me. I hadn't seen it in so long. She's clearly like the highlight. She's holding this thing together, Bette Midler. Like, she's the best thing about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's got a great, very infectious energy, and she knows what tone this is. She knows like what level to play this at, and it's cartoonish.
It really is. I mean,
high camp.
Yeah, I mean, this,
it's glorious.
This movie isn't, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's not serious. They know they're not serious. I mean, it is
It's from the director.
A lot of kid violence, kid deaths.
A couple of kid murders, but yeah, this is from the director of High School Musical. So that's the tone we're at. Like it is campy. It is over the top.
Well, and there's two musical numbers in there, which I'm a big fan of.
Let's just we'll just kind of briefly unpack the plot. You see, you have these three witches. Are they sisters?
They're sisters.
And so, yeah, they're played by, you know, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy and Jimmy. And we get this kind of opening prologue that's set in the 1600s. And this is Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween. And in this prologue, they murder a kid to rejuvenate themselves. They force this kid to drink this shit. And then they transfer some powers.
Well, yeah, so...
and the kid ends up dying.
Oh my God, you have no idea.
So, I don't watch this every year,
the witches...
Break it down for me.
The witches make a potion that takes life from kids. Takes their lifespan.
Yeah.
And puts that lifespan into the witches.
Sure, okay.
Ultimately killing the kids.
And so, yeah, in this scene, they've got this little girl like, tied to a chair, and her brother is like trying to rescue her or something. And this brother, they end up turning into a cat.
Yep.
After they do this potion, they young down. Yeah, and they curse this brother into a cat who is immortal.
Yep.
And so, yeah, these witches are captured by the townsfolk.
Yep.
And they're hung, right, from a tree. Hung from a tree, all three of them.
Well, they're in nooses. They're all three hung.
We see them hang.
Yeah,
but right, the feet drop.
Yeah. I mean, but it's from like a hangman's noose contraption thingy.
It's not from a tree
on their property. Okay. No.
So, but before they're hung, they cast a spell.
Yep.
Which says any virgin who lights the black candle on Halloween will bring them back.
Yes.
I mean, very specific parameters to come back. They could have just said, we're going to come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Kaboom.
But I think it's a specific spell that the devil gave her. Because the devil made the book.
Do we meet the devil in
this?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, kind of.
The devil made the book. There is a book, like a book of potions.
Yeah.
That's book kind of spells. That's kind of your MacGuffin. So cut to, roughly 300 years later, and we're hanging with this kid, Max Dennison. Played by Omri Katz.
Yep.
And he's like a high schooler.
Yep.
And he's hitting on this girl played by Vanessa Shaw.
They just moved to Salem, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So he's the new kid on the block.
We're kind of introduced to him in class.
Yep.
And he's bold enough to ask this girl out, right? In front of everyone.
In front of everyone.
So this kid's got some stones.
Yeah.
And then immediately after, he gets shaken down by some jackass bullies in a graveyard.
Ice.
This is a strange scene
where
these bullies jump out from a graveyard and then hustle him down for his shoes.
Well, they wanted money and then they saw his kicks and wanted his kicks.
Who are these?
Just douchebag bullies. I mean, you see them again. They're bullying little kids out of their candy. I mean, they're just
do they get their comeuppance?
Yeah, they do.
Are they murdered?
They're not.
These kids are terrible.
They're awful.
Yeah.
I mean, ice.
In a non-Disney film, these kids would meet a horrible fate. but anyways, move on from this. And so, yeah, and this kid, Max, he's got this sister, played by Thora Birch.
Yep.
And somehow they end up lighting this candle. I mean, I don't know how they end up at this house. The candle gets lit.
Let me explain.
They're out exploring. I don't know what the hell.
It is Halloween. They're trick-or-treating. Max has to take his little sister, per his parents, to go trick-or-treating. And so he takes her trick-or-treating, and they end up at Allison's house, who is the girl that he tried to, hit on in class. And then they all let's go to the Sanderson house, because it's a museum. And
it's like a legend in the town. Everyone knows of the sisters.
And they had the key because her mom used to be the curator.
Okay.
At the museum. So they went and
they're just looking for mischief.
They wanted to see what the fuss was all about. And so they looked at the book. They looked at everything else.
They
lit
the candle.
Max Dennison is like, hey, let's meet the broads. And so, and then that's when he lights the candle and everything goes swoop. And then
he drunk when he does this? Why does he do this?
He is not drunk. He just doesn't believe it.
So he's like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Okay. Like taunting. And then, of course, hey, it turns out to be true.
It turns out to be true.
And then, the three leads, they return.
The Sanderson sisters, yes.
So then it becomes just kind of like a chase movie where the kids, they have the book.
Yep.
They get this book of spells and the Sanderson sisters are just chasing them throughout the town.
Yep.
And it's just a bunch of, just family-friendly.
It's just a bunch of hocus pocus.
family-friendly, spooky hijinks.
So that's what I love about this movie, is that it is family-friendly.
It's a Disney film.
It is a Disney film, but Disney wouldn't make this movie nowadays. Yeah.
Well, it's not a brand, so...
It is now.
Sure.
Because they're making Hocus Pocus 2.
Sure, yeah. You could definitely get some eyeballs with a Hocus Pocus 2.
But
they're not... A movie like this would just go straight to Disney Plus now.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have been released. I mean, you know, the cat dies multiple times. He gets squished by a bus, and then he gets hit by a rock in the head. And...
Well, she, like, tosses him into a rock at one point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this poor cat. And, yeah, flattened by a... By a car?
By a bus.
Yeah, just bus run
that
over.
Was driven by one of the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah, this movie's just kind of laid back and just, it's campy.
It's so campy, but yeah. It's so much fun. I enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed Bette Midler. She was the engine driving this thing. And yeah, her performance is right on key. She understands the tone that she's going for. And, you know, her two co-stars, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy DeJimmy, they get on the same page with her. And the three of them are a lot of fun. And I can see why, you know, years later, we got Funko Pops of these characters.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
They're really just indelible characters, the way these actors play them.
I think it's a movie for the ages. Well.
I don't know about that. This is a movie kids and grandparents can watch on a Halloween. It's a family safe adventure. Yeah. Like, parents aren't going to want to blow their brains out. Kids are going to be entertained. I just, you know, for me, the weak part is, you know, all the bits with the three kids. When the witches are off screen, the movie loses a lot of its energy, I would say. And I don't find these three kids all that charming. Mm. I mean, it's kind of just like third rate Goonies territory with these kids, like exploring and screaming and... So, yeah, that's kind of the trade-off for me. Like, the stuff with the witches is just high camp, good fun, and the stuff with the kids is just, like, dopey Disney bullshit.
But they end up beating the sisters, and they end up, because the daylight,
There's a mummy character, like a zombie character who gets involved.
Yeah, so that was Winifred's boyfriend.
Yep.
But...
He becomes good, right?
She found him in bed with Sarah, the sister character.
Right, she's sleeping around.
And then Winifred killed him.
But he ends up like helping the kids.
Yeah.
I believe. And so
he hates Winifred.
And what do they end up doing with the book? Because I kept asking this while watching it, like, what are they doing with the book? Like, what's their plan with the book? And you're like, just keep watching. And now, like, thinking back, I forget what they do with the book.
I mean, actually, that's probably gonna be part of the sequel.
What
somebody
happens?
Will probably take the book, and I don't know.
Do they keep the book?
Yeah, the book isn't destroyed.
Okay.
That's probably the angle that they're going to bring back the sisters.
Through the book. I'm sure. And so the three sisters, they're eliminated. They disappear into, like, green verse.
Yeah, the dawn comes because that spell was only there for 24 hours for Halloween night.
What was the plan after that? Like, they're just...
They were going to take the life potion of kids. But Winifred used her pride and her ego, and she wanted one kid, and that was Mac Dennison's sister, because...
Thora Birch.
Yeah, she called her ugly. And so...
So they're going to use the life force of the kids to survive.
They could have taken the life of one of the guys that was caught, one of the bullies that was caught in the cages, and used that on them, and then taken their life force and
that would have been great. Yeah.
But... She didn't.
Mm, that's a mistake. A real mistake.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the witches are dead. Somehow, hopefully they'll be back for some more mischief.
Well, they're already in costume.
Well, I wonder if the pandemic, like, busted up their scheduling.
I think so. I think
but it was announced.
Still in pre-production. I think it probably won't be announced or won't be released until 2022, 2023.
I think it was definitely announced. I don't think they've started filming.
No.
Once that day comes, you know there's going to be set photos. People are going to be shitting their pants on Instagram, right?
Yeah. You're going to be there?
Yeah, I'll watch a Hocus Pocus sequel for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, this is a great movie.
Would you give this an A?
I
would give this a B.
I would say this would be a B.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with you.
All right.
But only,
you're so much more enthusiastic.
I know, but only because it's not a date night.
Okay.
But
I agree. I mean, this is for kids.
I would give it an A if we didn't have that date night aspect in it.
Well, no, I'm just asking personally, like, what would you rate it?
Oh, yeah, A.
So you would give this an A?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I figured. I mean, people already know this.
I know.
We're not cracking the case on anything. We are.
I mean, we're just. You guys all know and have watched and have loved Hocus Pocus.
This is a movie you watch each year, and this is a movie I hadn't seen in a long time, so this was an excuse to revisit it for me. So yeah, I guess that'll do it for Hocus Pocus. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Mike Dougherty's Trick or Treat. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about Trick or Treat. This movie, it has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's a big step up from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, pish posh.
And there aren't any actual box office totals to discuss, because this ended up being a straight-to-video release. You know, it was intended for theaters when it was completed by 2007, but for whatever reason, the studio, Warner Brothers, they got cold feet and shelved it for 2 years. And during that time, when I was in L.A., I got to actually catch a screening of this in a theater. It was hosted by Drew McWeeny and Ain't It Cool News. And at the time, we knew there were issues getting this released. And so the point of that screening was to just spread the word. So maybe if the studio saw how well it played to an audience, they would, you know, push the button and get it out there. And I'm not sure what the problem was. I mean, this movie, you know, seeing it in a large packed theater with a very like vocally engaged audience, it was just a very enjoyable, memorable experience. This movie deserved a traditional theatrical rollout, I would argue, and it's a shame that it didn't get one. And I don't know what the reason was. I'm sure there was a reason.
I mean, maybe there was just so.
I mean, not much movie.
What year was this out? I mean, was there maybe like really great movies?
Well, yeah, 2007, yeah, I mean, that was a great year for movies, but, I mean, you time this for Halloween, you know, you put it out maybe Halloween 2008.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw it, but that was like, you know, an invite-only screening, like, it didn't actually get a release until just home video, you know, in 2009. At least it did eventually get out there, and it found a loyal audience, and this movie has kind of gained a reputation over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to live in this town that this thing was filmed at. I mean, you've got mass murderers, you've got child killers.
Yeah, definitely some serial killers rolling around.
Yeah.
I mean, we get into child murder right off the bat.
And werewolves.
And so, yeah, this movie, it's basically, you got four different vignettes, and all revolving around Halloween, all taking place the same night. And the same town. And in the first, we meet this middle-aged dad, played by Dylan Baker, which is great casting. And he's a serial killer. And yeah. He's got this kid, Bad Santa's Brad Kelly.
Yeah.
I don't know what this kid does to, like, piss him off, but he just murders him. He murders kids.
He's just a kid. The kid was stealing candy or something, and
yeah, usually you set up like this kid did something bad, and so like he kind of deserves a horrible fate.
But I mean, obviously the dad. I mean, he's a principal, so we knew this kid. So
yeah, just again, great casting with Dylan Baker, and yeah, these scenes where he's kind of taunting this kid and tormenting this kid, it has like a creepy, funny vibe.
It
like,
does.
We're milking it for laughs. The humor throughout is a real asset to this movie. I feel it makes it more fun. I mean, there's plenty of violence. There's plenty of gore. I'm not a big gore guy, but there's a fair amount of violence going on.
There's a lot of, you know.
But the humor helps, and this isn't like Saw or Hostel or anything like that.
God, I will never watch those movies.
This
again.
Movie. This movie's having fun. Like, the vibe is more in, like, the Sam Raimi kind of vibe. And, you know, mixing humor with spooktacular scares.
Spookiness?
So, yeah, this kid, Brett Kelly, he gets murdered, like, just killed with a shovel in a ditch.
Well, I mean, he was drugged by the candy that was offered to him first. And he
projectile vomits a whole bunch, passes out.
Yeah, so he thought that he killed the kid by the stuff that was in the candy bar.
Right.
And then he ended up didn't kill the kid, and then finally kills the kid.
He's like kicking around in the sack while he's digging a grave.
Yeah,
and then he takes... bludgeon him.
My question is that when does he take the head?
Well, I think when he like finally like slams down with the shovel.
Yeah, but you don't see him walking out with the head going back inside.
True. Yeah, the final reveal of this scene is, you know, he and his son are going to carve a pumpkin, but it turns out they're carving this little boy's head.
Yeah. So he's nice training little, his little kid to be a
serial killer.
Nice
little ghoulish reveal, yeah. Little ghoulish button. And I like that we see a lot of these characters kind of interact in other stories.
Yeah.
Because we kind of like loop backward and forward in time a little bit. We see different characters at different points in the night, you know, in a different context. And so our second story, we're following a group of kids.
Yep.
And they're going to play a prank on this autistic girl.
Yep.
They're going to take her down to this abandoned, supposedly haunted quarry where, you know, we've seen a flashback, a school bus driver drove a bunch of kids off a cliff.
Well, no. I mean, he did, but he didn't. He was planning on it. He was making sure everybody was covered. And right. One kid got out of his restraints.
Right. And then accidentally drove them off.
Yes.
Right. Like, yeah, just chaos in this bus.
Yeah, but the driver ended up surviving.
Does he get out before it goes over?
Yeah, you didn't see him getting out of the quarry?
Well, true. I don't remember him, like, crawling out of the bus. I remember the bus going over. There's, a cool shot where, you know, we just, like, pan over a cliff. And, you know, we see the bus sinking down.
He swims free because he's the only one that's not tied down.
And yeah, the bus driver survives and he's played later on in the film by Brian Cox. In this segment, you know, these kids go down and it's a prank. And the girl, the autistic girl, she freaks out. And as she's kind of running away, it turns out that the quarry is actually haunted.
Yeah.
And so she gets in the elevator, leaving the other kids who set her up to be pranked.
Yeah.
Down there to die.
And she's pretty much like sayonara sucker, like bye-bye.
She's happy to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, all these segments, they're sort of intertwined by this figure, Sam, who's like just a little pumpkin-headed kid in a burlap sack. He looks like a sack boy from Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing about this movie is like, he shows up every time that there is like the ravenous, I mean,
whenever
stuff goes bad, yeah.
And he kills Leslie Bibb in the opening scene.
Yeah.
I think he's just there to preserve Halloween. He's just the Halloween dude.
I mean, I guess so, to like preserve the stories or, you know, things like that. I mean, I guess I would have liked to know a little bit more about Sackboy.
Well, it would have been cool if we got like a sequel to this.
Yeah.
Look, if we can get like 6 or 7 Saw movies every flipping year, why can't we get, or like Paranormal Activities
I know.
Every year, why couldn't we get like a series of Trick or Treat movies?
Well, see, I would have...
Totally, it would totally lend itself to that.
I guess I would have found this movie a lot more convincing.
why do we live in the terrible timeline where we get Saw and Paranormal Activity instead of this?
If Sackboy was one of the kids that was in...
The bus. Yeah, the movie doesn't really quite make that connection.
And I feel like it should have, and I feel like
but it's okay.
There should have been some correlation.
You need to understand Sackboy's origin.
Yeah.
But when we see
his
head...
Because he's a little kid.
But he's, well...
He's a demon.
When we see him without the sack, he's a pumpkin ghoul.
Yeah.
So he's not really human, so...
Yeah, but either are the kids in the quarry.
Well, they're like zombies. I mean, they're not like pumpkins. Sack boy kid is a pumpkin.
They all have faces on, so we don't know.
Yeah, we don't really get an origin story for Sack Boy. Get on Twitter, like ask Mike Doherty, like where did Sack Boy come from? He might answer. I don't know.
You're like, why are you asking me?
Sometimes you like things when they're open-ended, a little more ambiguous. I don't need to know, like, where was Sackboy born? Who were his parents?
I do.
You need to know who Sackboy's parents
yeah,
are?
Yeah, I need to know his motivation. Why is he evil?
Well, he's here to preserve Halloween and to make sure that justice gets served on Halloween. So don't blow out any candles or else he'll murder you with his candy cane.
Well, yeah. Well, how is justice being served with
you gotta
the first
keep,
murder?
You got to keep the candle lit.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He's just a pumpkin-headed figure.
Okay.
So the third story is we're following these girls. I guess like teenage girls, young adults. One of them played by Anna Paquin.
Yeah, I don't think they're teenagers.
Are they young,
I think
just
they're
young adults.
Like, you know, 20s.
College age.
Yeah, college.
College. Yeah,
age.
There you go. And they're out just having a good old time, right? Yeah.
And they're just in little outfits that are sexy little Halloween outfits.
Well, they're dressed up like Disney princesses.
Yeah.
And Anna Paquin is dressed up like Little Red Riding Hood, which is appropriate because she is actually a wolf.
Yeah.
Right? They're all werewolves, essentially. And
they're looking for their prey.
Their prey ends up being Dylan Baker,
yeah,
who's dressed up and just literally murdering people in the
Anna
street.
Well, that's Anna Paquin's prey.
They each have their separate one. They have like a bonfire going where they're like doing human sacrifices. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy scene where like they take off his mask. You know, we just see this like masked figure murdering women in the street.
Well, he acts like he's a vampire. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's really killing people. And then when he's unmasked, it turns out it's Dylan Baker.
Yep.
So yeah, in this scene, like all of these girls, they like tear off their skin and underneath is werewolf fur.
That was pretty gross.
Pretty great. Just nice little reversal of like the Little Red Riding Hood theme that we're doing
it.
Here. I love it too. Yeah.
That was fun.
Great how that plays out. And then we're on to our fourth and final vignette. We're with Brian Cox. We're in Brian Cox's house.
Yep.
And he's the bus driver.
And he's the neighbor of Dylan.
Yeah, they have like a little exchange earlier in the film. So yeah, he's like just living by himself. He's got a shotgun. He's just a crazy old man.
I think he's tortured. I think he is. I mean, he's never been married. He's living by himself. He's
living with the weight of
what he did.
Death. Yeah, all this child death.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he got paid by the parents. The parents wanted their kids dead.
Yeah, pretty dark. There's a lot of dark, definitely a dark edge to this movie.
Well, because I think all these kids were mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
And the parents...
We went to a special school. And, yeah.
And the parents didn't want the burden of them anymore.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's sad.
Very sad, yeah. So this movie, it doesn't pull its punches in terms of, like, its thematics. It's... A lot of it is thematically pretty dark, especially when you're dealing with child murder.
Both movies were child murderous.
Well, yeah, if you're doing it, I mean, if you're telling a story about witches, I mean, you got to throw in some child murder. I don't know how else you do it. How else are you going to tell that story properly? And yeah, I mean, serial killers on Halloween, yeah, they're going to be chopping up kids. I mean, that's, you know, let's do it. But again, this isn't Saw. This is not like torture porn or anything like that. That's, yeah. And that, I mean, this movie's vibe, it isn't even like a slasher vibe. It's not even like Halloween or Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's more of like a Sam Raimi, just, you know, occasional gross out mixed with humor kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Dougherty, he went on to make Krampus. And
you love that movie.
It's fun. I wouldn't say I like Trick or Treat better, but I think Krampus is fun. And my favorite of the American Godzilla movies, Godzilla King of the Monsters. So Mike Dougherty, I mean, at the very least, he knows how to have fun. He works within a genre and he makes it fun and he delivers the goods. And in my book, he's an underrated filmmaker and he's 3 for 3.
I like the film wasn't that long.
I mean, this is like a tight, like 82 minutes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it immensely.
You have, you know, this iconic horror character with Sackboy. And you have this mythology that you kind of weave in and out. There's a lot of humor. There's a good amount of, you know, spooky scares and some disturbing violence. All within 82 minutes. All original. Perfect. I love it.
It is original. That's all. I mean, both these movies are original.
For sure.
Yeah,
I would give Trick or Treat an A. And I think it's a good day movie.
I would give it a B only because I want to know more about Sam.
Yeah.
And I want to know his backstory. And I want to know his motivation and why he's like, meh.
Holler at Mike Dougherty on Twitter.
I will. Get at him. I'm going to do it.
Get at him.
But yeah, I do think it's a good date movie.
A better date movie than Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
for sure. And I mean, at one point they did announce a sequel to this. I don't know what the deal is with that. But yeah, this should, again, if you can serialize Paranormal Activity to infinity... If you can serialize Saw to infinity, you can serialize this. I mean, for at least another one or two.
Saw, I mean, that's in its own genre. I mean,
we get 50 whatever. Nightmare on Elm Streets, 50 Halloweens,
but
50 Friday the 13th. Give me another Trick or Treat.
With Paranormal Activity, though, it's more... There's not It's not gory. I'm just saying, like, shock and like scare.
Paranormal Activity is fine. I'm saying, like, do we need 8 of them? No. Wow. Let's stop at like 2 or 3.
I'm good with 8.
Give me another trick or treat is what I'm saying. If we can have 12 dozen, you know, Chucky movies, wow, right?
Yeah.
Give me a trick or treat.
Chucky.
If we can have like 50 Annabelle movies, how many Annabelles are we going to get? Give me Trick or Treat. Give me a sequel to Trick or Treat is all I'm asking for. Original.
But it's not original if it's a sequel.
But it's telling original stories in that sequel.
Well, I think, you know, original
You keep
stories,
that anthology format.
Original stories are dried up in Hollywood. Hollywood's not taking, especially now, they're not taking risks on original stories, except Netflix and Hulu.
Then let's do a Trick or Treat sequel for HBO Max.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
You'll direct it?
or Mike Doherty? Sure. Yeah. Put me in second in line. Of course. Come on.
Let me be the assistant director.
I'm number 2. Duh. Mike Doherty's busy. You go to me. Duh. Yeah. One thing we can say about both these movies, they don't work as well outside of the Halloween season, right? These are movies that you want to watch probably within this window of time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not really
You're not going to be watching Hocus Pocus in February.
I'm not.
Right, yeah. I'm not going to be watching, you know, Sackboy in,
no,
you know, June.
But I will. But that's the thing. Like, I'll watch Paranormal anytime.
Okay.
I'll watch, like, The Nun.
Yeah. Sure. I can watch Friday the 13th
at any time.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
these are specific Halloween movies.
These are our Halloween movies.
And that's why we're talking about them.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's our show. You can find more episodes at anchor.fm/moviedatenight, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter at DEDMoviePodcast, and you can also email us at datenightmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ashley.
Happy Halloween. Ha 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 ha.